listening to Therapy for Your Money, a podcast about all things money and finance for therapy practice owners. If you want to feel confident and in control of your financial life, then you've come to the right spot. I'm your host, Julie Harris. I'm an accountant and the owner of Green Oak Accounting. My firm specializes in working with private practices across the U.S., and my team and I have worked with hundreds of private practice owners. I'm on a mission to share all the best practices I've learned along the way because I want you to have a profitable private practice. My new book, Profit First for Therapists, is available at most online retailers. You can get it in paperback, audiobook, or ebook as well. Go check it out. Hello, hello, and welcome to Therapy for Your Money. Today, we are talking about retirement plans that are available to you if you are a business owner. We'll cover the four most common and most popular plans on the business side, as well as two options that you have on the personal side. First, I want you to know that many of these plans will have a traditional and a Roth option. Not all of them, but many of them. And so when we talk about a traditional plan, that means you are contributing with pre-tax dollars. You get a tax benefit right now. You get to reduce your taxable income by the amount that you contribute in the plan. And that means you pay less tax now. When you contribute to a traditional plan, those dollars are going to grow tax-free until you take them out of the plan, hopefully after you are 59 and a half years old. If you take funds out before then, you will pay tax, but you will also pay a 10% penalty. So the funds that are going into your retirement savings really are meant to stay there until you are at least 59 and a half years old. So if you're contributing to a traditional plan, the funds are going in pre-tax, they're growing, tax deferred. And then when you take the funds out, you are paying tax on the money at that point. But you've gotten a lot of great tax benefits. So you didn't have to pay tax on the funds when you put them in. All of the growth was tax deferred. And so when the money comes out, then let's say you're taking $10,000 out of your 401k, just as an example, you will then have to pay tax on the $10,000. But it's the very first time that you're paying tax on it because you didn't pay tax on it to begin with. It was pre-tax dollars. And that $10,000 may have been $6,000 a couple of years ago. So you got the additional benefit of all of that tax-free growth. The other type of plan that you might have access to is a Roth. So in the case of a Roth, you are going to put in after-tax dollars. So you pay tax on the funds in the current year, in the year that you're contributing. You put the money in after tax, so there is no tax deduction at the time that you contribute. And you also get access to that tax deferred growth. Basically, there's never going to be tax assessed on that growth ever again. And because you contributed after tax dollars, when you take the money out, those funds are not going to be taxed either. So you get access to the growth that happens tax free, but you don't get a tax benefit right now. So depending on your situation, you can talk to your financial advisor and see which one is going to be best for you in the long run, to do a traditional, get the tax benefit now, or pay the tax now and then never have to pay tax on it again. They both have great advantages depending on your specific situation. Okay, when it comes to the most popular business retirement plans, probably the most well-known one is a 401k. The pros of a 401k is that there's typically not going to be a minimum employer contribution. You are able to have that for yourself and for your team if you have one. And the business itself does not necessarily have to contribute to the 401k. You also have access to pretty high contribution limits. In 2024, you're able to contribute up to $23,000 per year. And then you can contribute even more if you're over 50 years old. So that's a pretty good amount. Imagine if you're contributing $23,000 every year until you retire. That's going to be a really nice chunk of change. And so sometimes the contribution limit is one of the pros and one of the reasons to go with a 401k. So I think a traditional 401k can be a great option for a small business owner that has employees, but they don't necessarily want to match, but they want to have the option to match in the future, right? And a match is when you're saying, my employee is going to contribute, for example, 3%, and I'm going to match that 3%, that's a cost to the employer. So if you said, I want to offer that in the future, but don't want to necessarily offer that right now, then a 401k could be a great option. If you are in solo practice and you don't have any employees at all, you might also want to consider a solo 401k. It's going to have just less burdensome management for it, but obviously as soon as you hire, you will no longer be eligible for a solo 401k because as the name implies, it's just for a solo business owner. So even if you have an admin that's part-time in W-2, you cannot have a solo 401k. Another item to mention about the 401k is there is a testing requirement. And that means that the plan is not allowed to favor a highly compensated employee. And guess what? As the owner, you are always considered to be a highly compensated employee, no matter how much money you make. And that's just because you are an owner. So you could not have a plan where you're the only one participating and no one else is participating. That is typically going to fail the testing. The manager of your plan will typically be the one doing the testing. They probably will need reports from you, payroll reports, but they will be the one to do that. So let's say you want to be able to max out your 401k. Maybe a Safe Harbor 401k, which is our second most popular plan, maybe that Safe Harbor 401k is going to be a good solution for you. It has the same contribution limits as the traditional 401k, but in the Safe Harbor 401k, there is a required minimum contribution. So in most cases, you are going to match dollar for dollar the first 3% that your employee contributes, including you. If you are an S Corp owner and you're on payroll, you could do that match for yourself as well. And then you're going to contribute 50 cents on the dollar for the next 2% that they contribute. So what that means is if an employee were to contribute 5% to their 401k, the business would match at 4%, right? They contribute 5%, the business matches at 4%. You want to run the numbers on this. Obviously, there is a pretty significant cost. 4% of your wages would be the most typical cost of that Safe Harbor 401k. Now, a match is just that, a match. It assumes that the employee is going to contribute. So if they don't, you wouldn't incur that expense for them. But when you're running the numbers on a retirement plan, you want to assume that everyone's going to participate just to make sure that you can afford if that were to happen. So I think a Safe Harbor 401k can be a great option for a small business owner who wants to max out their retirement and also wants to contribute for their team because there is no testing in that Safe Harbor 401k. So let's say you are 53 years old, so you're over that 50 years of age limit, you're able to contribute $23,000 in 2024, plus a catch-up contribution of $7,500 as well. That's a really nice amount of money. So if that is something that you're financially able to do, that is important for you for your retirement, this could be a great vehicle for you and for your team. Now, within both the 401k and the Safe Harbor 401k, you may have access to traditional and Roth options within them. Our third business plan is a simple IRA. It is called a simple because it's just that. It's pretty simple. There's no reporting. There's no testing. It's typically very, very inexpensive as well. One of the disadvantages of a simple is that there are lower contribution limits. In 2024, that's going to be a $16,000 contribution plus the company match, plus a catch-up contribution of $3,500 if you're over 50. So you can see those numbers are a little bit smaller. In many cases, if you're not contributing all the way up to the maximum, that can be a great option available. And so you can offer a simple IRA or simple 401k if you have less than 100 employees. So I think this can be a great option for most private practices. You will also have an employee contribution and then an employer match as well. And there are rules around the employer match. So typically you're going to have to do either a fixed percentage match. So for anyone who contributes, you're going to match their contribution or a non-elective contribution. And that means whether someone participates in the simple or not, you are contributing a certain percentage into their simple for them. So again, whether they contribute or not. So in this case, you have to look at the number of employees you have, and it's going to cost you that for everyone on the team. Also, another piece that's important to know, if you're doing that match at the end of the year, it's on anyone who is eligible at any point in the year, whether they're still employed for you or not. So that's an interesting one right there. Because of that, typically the match is going to make the most sense because then you're contributing at that moment where the employee has the deduction. Next up, we have retirement plan number 4, the STEP IRA. This is a great plan for solo business owners who don't have employees. You can have a SEP when you have employees, but you'll see how it becomes unruly pretty quickly. So in the case of a SEP, some of the benefits is that you have access to a really high contribution for the owner. It is typically going to be either 25% of your wage. So if you are on payroll because you're the owner of an S-Corp, it's going to be about 25% of that. There are a couple of calculations here, but roughly 25%. Or 25% of your self-employment income if you have a single-member LLC, sole proprietorship, or a partnership. Again, there are a couple of calculations here, so it's not exactly 25%, but it's in that ballpark. The limit for 2024 is $69,000 or 25% of wage or pass-through income. And so up to 69,000, right? So it's not 69,000, even if you made 100,000. No, that's not going to work. The plan kind of maxes out around 330,000 in profit. And so maybe you're listening in and thinking, oh my gosh, that's so much money. I'll never get there. But there are ultimately people who get there every single year. So 25% up to $69,000. So again, if you're in a situation where you are a solo practice owner, high income earner, maybe your income is not really needed to run your household, so you want to chunk as much as you can over into a retirement plan, this can be a great vehicle for you. One of the big disadvantages of a SEP is that it is an employer-funded plan. The employee does not contribute anything. So the business contributes on behalf of the team member. But you have to contribute the same percentage for every eligible employee. So anyone who has reached age 21 has worked for the employer at least three of the last five years, and has received at least $750 in compensation. But the place where you can get stuck pretty quickly is the 3 of last 5 years rule. So if someone has worked for you at any point in the last three of the last 5 years, they will become eligible. There are no exceptions. Doesn't matter if they only worked a couple of hours and then they left for a couple of years and they came back. It does not matter. If they've worked for you at any point in the 3 of the last 5 years, they will become eligible. And so you would have to contribute at that same dollar amount. And so you can see if you were contributing for yourself 25%, and now all of a sudden you have an employee that's eligible, that's a lot of money. It could be very, very generous if you can afford it to do that. But in reality, most practices simply cannot afford to pay such a generous retirement contribution. And so while the SEP can work really great for someone who's in solo practice, once they hire, they're typically going to shift over to a different retirement plan so that there's a little bit more flexibility in how much they contribute. And sometimes people get mad when I say that and they say, why wouldn't you want to be very generous with your team members? And yes, I agree. Why wouldn't you want to be very generous with your team members? That's a great thing. But the numbers have to make sense. It has to be financially viable for the business. And usually it is not. Usually that is not viable long-term for the business. In all the years that I've been an accountant, I've only seen someone contribute to a SEP of an employee maybe 1 or 2 times in the case that they had a really, really small team. They had been there for a long time. They wanted to take care of their team members and they could afford to, and they did that. But this is really the exception and not the rule. So typically, if you have a SEP, once you have team members, that will stop. Those were the business plans. So the 401k, Safe Harbor 401k, Simple IRA, and then the SEP. I want to talk to you about 2 different personal retirement plans that you can choose to have. If you are eligible for a 401k or a retirement plan, either through the business or your spouse is eligible, you may have restricted or limited eligibility for these two plans, which is the IRA or the Roth IRA. So IRA or Roth IRA. Those are personal. The business does not contribute on your behalf. You would personally contribute to those. But just know that there are limitations if you are eligible for a plan somewhere else. So one of the benefits of the IRA is that it is a tax savings. It would reduce your taxable income. It's easy to set up and fund. Typically, you would do that through your financial planner, but you might even be able to do that just online. And so if you have additional funds available in your business, let's say you have not set up a retirement plan in the business, you can go contribute to an IRA and get the tax deduction still. The contribution limit for 2024 is $7,000 per person. If you're over 50, you can contribute up to $8,000 total. And so that's a nice amount of money that you can contribute over there. Then there's also the Roth IRA. So as I mentioned at the beginning of this episode, in the case of a Roth, you are not getting a tax deduction now, but you don't ever have to pay tax on this money in the future. It has to stay in that account at least 5 years, but that's a great way to not have to pay tax again. So if you think, you know, by the time I retire, tax rates are going to be higher, it could make a lot of sense to pay the tax now and then not pay tax later. So again, just remember there are eligibility requirements if you have access to something else. Last item that I'm going to leave you with, this is kind of just a bonus. There is such a thing as a backdoor Roth. Now in 2023, we thought for sure the backdoor Roth was going away. It seemed that the Secure 2.0 legislation was going to make the backdoor Roth a thing of the past. Surprisingly, it did not. So backdoor Roth still is available. It may not be available forever though. In the case of a backdoor Roth, this is for someone who is a high income earner. They're not eligible for an IRA. They're not eligible for a Roth because they make too much money. So in this case, you would contribute to a non-deductible IRA. It's a multi-step process. So the first step, contribute to a non-deductible IRA. And then at a later time, you would convert that into a Roth IRA. So two-step process. Ideally, it's done within the same year. I recommend that you always, always, always work with your financial planner to do this because you have to do it correctly. You will have to file an 8606, that's the IRS form, when you do a backdoor Roth. So you definitely want to let your tax preparer know. You're also going to get a form in the mail for that conversion. So you want to give that over to them. You want to make sure that you're filing this so that you are papering everything that you've done. So the backdoor Roth may not be available forever, but as of right now, it still is. And so even if you are a high income earner, that is another option available for you if you're not eligible for the Roth. Saving for retirement is a great way to take care of future you. At some point, you will exit your business, whether it's voluntarily or not, right? There hopefully is a point in time at which you will retire. And so saving for retirement is going to help you do that in a way that is tax advantageous to you now, but also takes care of you in the future. I'm a firm believer that something is always better than nothing when it comes to retirement savings. So I'd rather see you do $50 per month or $50 per paycheck or $100 or $200 or however much you're able to afford. I think consistency is key here. And when you do it in small increments or large increments, if you want to, instead of one big lump sum at the end of the year, it feels less painful. But you're also building it into some healthy financial habits. It's just like exercising regularly. You don't do it just at the end of the year, right? You exercise on a regular basis, hopefully, or go walk on a regular basis or take care of yourself on a regular basis. It's just going to be much more impactful on your financial health than if you try to do it all at one time. It's also less draining on your cash flow. So I hope that you will open up a retirement account if you don't have one yet. And take care of future you. Before I leave you, one last note is that many, many, many states in 2024 have implemented mandatory retirement plans if you have a certain number of employees. And so typically when that is the case, there is going to be a state retirement plan option that is available to you at low or no cost, where you're really just managing the plan for your team members, so deducting from their payroll and contributing that money to the plan, right? So that's the piece of the process that you're taking care of for them. But there are many states that are now requiring, sometimes when you have as low as just one single employee, that you're required to have a retirement plan. And so that's why I wanted to go over some of the options available to you. Whenever there is a requirement for a state mandated plan, you can always choose to go out and get your own. That always is an option for you. So you want to just evaluate, is the state plan better for me, or should I just go and get something else that's going to make more sense for my business? That is an option that you have available. But if that is a requirement for your state, do look into it and get compliant as soon as you are able to, if you don't have a plan set up already. That's all for today. Take care, everyone. If you're looking for accounting help, head over to therapyforyourmoney.com/accounting to find information about my accounting firm and all of our specialized services just for private practice owners. If you enjoyed today's episode, we'd love for you to give us a 5-star rating on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes, click on ratings and reviews, and give us a quick shout out. We really appreciate it.
The information contained in this podcast represents the host and guest's general opinions and should not be construed as personalized accounting and tax advice. Listeners should consider all facts and circumstances before applying this information and seek appropriate advice from an accountant, financial planner, lawyer, or other professional. Any info provided does not constitute accounting, tax, or legal advice.